Welcome to the Seahawkers Podcast, your Seattle Seahawks podcast by 12s for 12s, with your hosts, Adam Emmert.
I'm breaking my silence. It was a joke show. It was a joke show. Are you kidding me?
And Brandon Schultz.
Nincompoop is an underused word, Adam. I think we need to bring it back.
Go Hawks!
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, your Seattle Seahawks podcast by 12s for 12s. I'm Brandon Schultz, member of the Military Seahawkers, and across the table from me, it's game week, Adam. Adam Emmert.
It is game week. I am extremely excited. It's finally here. It's finally football. Thank
off-season.
The maker.
We're done with it. It's behind us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people are starting to get on board, Adam. I've noticed there's been an uptick in listeners. They're ready for the season to start.
And uptick in emails for this show as well, I think. And
yeah.
Just, I think everybody's getting a little excited finally. I mean, it's finally time for redemption, for the redemption season.
Yes. Yes, we need to get all of that behind us and just start all over. And you can see,
it's going to be so much better by the time the first game is played.
Yes,
like that. That's it's going to make all the difference.
Exactly. So the other thing I'm fired up to see, so happy to see the stickers getting out to everybody and how fired up they are. The responses, you know,
I'm kind of tickled by that. Like people seem to really enjoy those showing up. People have been excited.
So a big thanks to DCH, Doug Sean Silhary, for designing the sticker.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he threw in a donation that it essentially paid for the shipping costs just to get them out to everybody.
Oh, did he? Wow.
So
okay.
You can pretty much just thank Doug.
Thank Doug. He's DCH. The one who made the stickers happen for everybody.
He made it happen for everybody. So
that's awesome.
Our overseas listeners or outside the U.S. listeners, they'll be happy to see that there was a Christmas sticker on the envelope. So, you know, Merry Christmas.
There it is, because it might take that long for it to get there.
Maybe they celebrate on a different day than we do. Who knows?
Because I know Craig Humphreys was they're also a you know, especially like England, you know, that's like another like Christian, you know, country. So
they probably celebrate it on the same
I'm going to guess. Yeah. I mean, Craig Humphreys outside made a comment on the Facebook page saying he was admiring him from overseas. But don't worry, man. It's on its way.
It's on its way.
We didn't forget all y'all outside the borders.
No. They've made it to Canada. I know that. And
well, Canada's a lot closer.
It's a little bit closer, but all the way to Toronto. I saw one make it all the way over there. So, yes, look for that. And if you are overseas, Merry Christmas. So, let's get started with what we're going to talk about today, Adam. We want to talk Seahawks Broncos, of course. There's a game coming up Friday night.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about some of those things that you want to watch for, because especially when you're not watching starters. That'll be a very small portion of the game. We don't want it to get boring for you too quickly. So once those starters leave the game, we'll give you a few things to look for and that maybe keep you engaged throughout the game. And we should talk a little bit of 49ers, Adam. Cause
holy smokes.
The downward spiral continues.
Man, when it rains, it pours. I mean, for real.
It's been pouring all offseason.
Oh, man.
So
brutal. Just
talk
brutal.
About that. Michael Robinson giving up our secrets. I got to get
well,
on him
you
for
got,
that.
Well, you got to also understand that those are two-year-old secrets now.
But there are things that people don't know, and he doesn't need to be talking about them, man.
Okay. All right.
So,
all right.
And then I guess we should mention the fact that Cam Chancellor is still holding out.
Sure.
So that happened.
Yeah.
It's happening.
It is happening.
But there's a part of that I want to talk about that's interesting to me, and that it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. And what do you say let's start off with Cam a little bit, because that is kind of the big news item, is that he's still I guess nothing has happened. Something's happened.
He's lighter $250,000.
Yeah, or it could be more after if he's not.
If they do decide to go after the roster bonus, it could be even more. But yeah, he's at least $250,000.
That doesn't seem worth it to me.
It's not. I mean, I respect that he's a tough-minded individual. I do, but this just doesn't make sense, man. This just it's done making sense.
One of the cool things that I saw that came out of this, though, is that he's been reviewing game tape or practice tape, not game tape. There's mm-hmm. any of that yet, but been reviewing practice tape and kind of coaching up some of the guys in the secondary, some of the younger sure. players.
Sure.
That's kind of cool. That's your captain right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not going to give up on the team.
Be
he's
more
not...
helpful if he were here. But...
Well, of course, it'd be a lot better if he were here just in terms of coaching up the fellow players in the secondary, because then it's real time. But, you know, at least he's staying engaged with the team. I mean, there's that, you know, that really you can see his beef is with management, not so much the team itself. Right. So, but yeah, I find it hilarious, hilarious. Look, sometimes the PR that comes out from one side or another in these kinds of negotiations, I mean, we saw it back and forth with Russell Wilson. In fact, we saw something just here recently with yes. Russell Wilson we'll get to. But this with Cam... Suddenly, Deion Bailey is a world beater.
Oh yeah, he's like the best player on the defense.
Just spectacular.
Not Earl Thomas or,
yeah, yeah, you know, laying the wood. He's a, you know, ex linebacker who's now safety.
I think I even heard a local radio host say that. Yeah, Cam Chancellor's a 10, but Deion Bailey's like an 8.
Right.
Let's not get
beep back the truck up. I wonder where that information came from about how awesome he is suddenly.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that came from the team. But the thing is, it's just. Those things get pathetic because you don't think Cam Chancellor sees right through that.
Yeah.
I mean, the second he walks out on the field, he's, the best strong safety we have on the team. Easy, done. Like, yeah. It's just not even close. So, like, don't even try. It's just stupid. These negotiations are stupid. I wish Cam would just understand they're not going to do it. They're not going to do anything. I know I said in the last couple pods that I thought, uh-huh. you know, the team might
do something. That's kind of past that point now.
It's past that point now. I think Cam wanted more than just a little bit of guaranteed money. I think he wanted some new money, or he wanted some, or a
Another
lot
year,
of new guaranteed money,
sure.
or an extension or something. And he's not coming off that. And now he's negotiated himself out of anything. Because at this point, if you're the team, you can't cave on anything. Like, it's to the point now where you're just like, nope, either show up or you're losing money.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of at that point. But, let's get on to better things, and let's talk about the Broncos coming up. And
right.
I like that we're starting out against a decent team. I think the Broncos will be a good test to just kick things off, kick the season
every year,
off.
Every year.
And game number one on our home field.
In the clink.
The preseason.
In the clink. Yeah. You got the Broncos coming on in. I'm sure there'll be... Yeah, they probably have a mini Lombardi trophy waiting for them if they decide to win that game. But
they're not going to win that game.
Who knows? It's preseason.
We're not talking about losses, Adam.
They're not losses in the preseason, dude.
That still goes up in the L column, even temporarily.
What L column?
there's a temporary
it's a
L
fiction,
column.
It's a fiction. No, it's not a real L. It's a fictionary. Fictionary? Fictionary is not a word. Fictional.
It's totally fictionary.
It's a, don't look up fictionary in the dictionary. It's a fictional L. Yeah.
I think there is a fictionary out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Isn't that the Urban Dictionary?
Probably. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup. At least you get, like you said, to play against some legitimate competition, whether that is the 1-2s or 3s when they're out there on the field. You know, one thing that was interesting in the past is John Fox and Pete Carroll actually had a pretty good relationship in the sense, well, we want to work on this, so we're going to do some of these things. Oh, well, we want to work on this, so we'll do some of these things. And they kind of worked together a little bit on some of this preseason mm-hmm. stuff. I'll be interested to see or find out if Kubiak is anything like that with Seattle, or if it's just going to be...
I feel like in preseason, that's the way that all coaches should be. Mm-hmm. And because you do...
But they're
see...
not. We weren't that way with Harbaugh. Well, I guess we never played the Niners
in preseason.
Yeah.
But you always see the starters go out about the same time, and you see, yeah, I feel like there's a plan in place. I don't know for sure if there is, but it seems like there is.
Well, there's some of those unwritten rules, too, yeah. Like starters play a series game one, they play maybe a quarter game two, they play three quarters game three, and then they don't play at all game four.
Yeah.
So
definitely a pattern to it, it seems.
Yeah, there's some of those unwritten rules, but I think the Broncos and Seahawks have collaborated a little more in the past on that, but maybe after the real Super Bowl, that went to the wayside a little bit.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, like I said at the top of the show, there's some things to watch for as we're going into the preseason mm-hmm. game, because yes, we know who the starters are going to be.
For the most part.
Right, for the most part. You know, everybody on defense, you know, fairly solidified. You might see how they structure some, you know, move some guys around. You might wonder who's going to be, you know, out there in the slot, maybe
and
a quarterback initially.
Nickel package, what rushers will be on the field and where. And,
right. I feel like defense is, for the most part, pretty solid as far as your starters go. And then on offense, you know, you have your guys at receiver and your quarterback, running back. Those guys are all, you know, who they're going to be. Offensive line is a question for sure.
Yeah.
Now, center is probably the biggest question, is who is that guy going to be? Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like through training camp so far, it's been Lemuel Jean-Pierre
and Nowak.
And Drew Nowak. Mm-hmm. And Drew Nowak's kind of been the guy that came out of nowhere. We had to look his name up just to remember who he was the last show.
Yeah, no.
And but it sounds like he's coming on. And
well, he's been getting a lot of the first team reps, but I think a lot of that too, a lot of people read a lot into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, all the first team reps. Well, they know who Lem is. They know what he can do. I mean, he's been on the team for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need to see a lot out of him. What they do need to see is a lot out of Nowak to see exactly who he is and what he can get done. And they have a penchant for those former defensive linemen playing offensive line. So we'll see how that that all pans out. But
Drew Nowak, converted defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, so he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He came out in 2012. He was an undrafted guy and Jacksonville picked him up and he spent all 2012 on injured reserve. 2013, it was a practice squad guy. And then I think they let him go just after preseason in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So another project the Seahawks looked to take on to continue that. And he was playing at guard for Jacksonville and now they shifted him over to center. And sounds like they're pretty impressed with him. It's interesting.
We'll get to see for ourselves.
Yeah. But it's interesting to hear Carol, Coach Carroll talk about how physically he feels like Drew Nowak is ahead of Jean-Pierre, and whereas Lem has the edge mentally, you know, being able to recognize defenses and kind of having a little bit more confidence to be able to make calls at the line.
So what does that tell you about the position battle at this point then?
I'm curious to see how it
they're going with Nowak. If that's what Pete said, they'll be going with Drew Nowak. Because look at all the guys they've brought in over time, right?
Yeah.
Where, well, there's a younger athletic guy or there's a smarter, savvy veteran that's been around for a while. Who ends up starting by the time the season
starts? They start the young guy and just feed.
And that's part of the philosophy.
They figure that he can learn that stuff as he goes.
Yeah.
But I
because you can't teach some physical skills. You know what I mean? You can't teach speed.
Yeah.
But
this is where the concern comes in because it is at center. And so what you hear is they're talking about to see how the other guys along the offensive line react to, you know, if a guy is at center and is very confident, it might help make the line a little bit better just having that confidence factor in place.
Hey, I just had a question though. What position group is center a part of? Is that offensive line?
I think it's offensive line.
All right, then they probably don't care. I just wanted to make sure we were figuring that out. Okay.
That goes back to the zero craps.
Zero craps. Yeah. I mean, but we'll see. I'm really interested to see that in the battle since we're on offensive line, and I love me the offensive line. Left guard. I mean,
guys have been in competition for that one spot.
Sounds like nobody has really stepped up and tried to take the reins here.
Well, from what Coach Carroll has said again is that Alvin Bailey had been far and away the guy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's catching up to him.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that Bailey's fallen behind at all. It's just that everybody else has stepped up.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see who they put in with the ones because they moved Glowinski, the pick out of West Virginia this year. They moved him from right guard to left guard because Carroll said, well, I mean, he's just not getting past JR.
Sure.
And because, you know, you can't beat out. It's not easy beating out Sweezy.
No.
So yeah.
And they got Sokoli, who they were trying him out at center.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, he's trying him out at center. And now they're moving him to guard because center's a lot to deal with as a rookie. You're converting and all that and being a pretty raw player. And
he
was
taking first team snaps at the left guard position.
He's not going to start at left guard.
No, but they were trying him out in that spot.
Yeah, they're trying him out. And then, like you said, Bailey. And let's see, who else did they?
And Terry Poole was the other guy that was drafted.
They moved him to right tackle.
And they've been working him at right tackle.
Right. And as a backup to
Justin Britt.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who takes those first team snaps. Out of all the position battles in camp, probably the one that I have the least sense of is left guard. I really have no idea. And what's cool is in a preseason game, you'd mentioned this to me before the pod, you can do things like not exactly watch the ball and the way a play develops. You can just focus on certain positions and really go at that and try to, you know, watch, say, left guard throughout an entire series rather than, you know, watching where the ball's going and what's happening with the backs and all that
stuff. Well, I think about how I watch football, Adam, and, you know, all through just up until recently, really, it's always been watching where the ball is going because right. That's the important thing, right? That's knowing where the ball is going.
That's where the action is.
But, sitting and watching the game with you and kind of seeing how you kind of watch it a little bit differently. You can.
Everybody does. There's different things I've learned from you like that, too. But yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you watch it as a more zoomed out version. And you can kind of see where the play is developing and where it might be going, so where you can kind of predict where the ball might be going. And that's another way to watch it. And I feel like preseason is the perfect time to try and watch the game in different ways, because really it doesn't matter where the ball is going or ends up so much as it does in the regular season.
No, not at all.
But to be able to kind of train your eye to maybe look in a little bit different places, because I like to watch the offensive line and the defensive line and those battles and to see, you know, how the guys shift around and try and get in open holes and how they attack the quarterback and how the offensive line tries to, you know, block for the quarterback.
Yeah, you watch the trenches a lot better than I do. Just for that. And that's something that I've picked up on more as well. You know, it's funny, you mentioned everybody watched a little different. When I watch games with Jared, he very much looks at it through the lens of a safety. Not that he played safety or anything like that. He just loves safety play.
Really?
And so, yeah, that's definitely where his focus is from the back end of the defense in. And yeah, and for me, I've always been, you know, big picture. So I'm always looking at it from, you know, 1,000 feet, you know what I mean? But yeah, there's a lot of ways to watch the game. So what's cool is in the preseason, think of it as your game practice, right? Your game watching practice.
And just watch it. Yeah. Watch it a little bit differently.
Right. Right. And also all the fans that get to be at the stadium, think of it like, I mean, it's preseason for you too. Like you're all competing for your spot out there in the stadium. So like, you better be loud.
Better be bringing it.
You better be bringing it.
And, you have to show those young guys out there what to expect, you know, especially when they're on the defensive guys.
Right.
They have to learn how to play with noise now.
You got to bring that championship mentality to every single game.
Every single game.
That's exactly right.
Fans at the preseason.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, speaking of safety play, Adam, that's also one spot on the defense where I think it'll be a little bit interesting to watch in the preseason. And that you mentioned Deion Bailey, you know, getting rave reviews in the preseason.
You mean Ronnie Lott Dose?
Ronnie Lott number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Richard Sherman at one point was a backup, Adam. So you never know.
Who was starting in front of Richard Sherman?
Yeah. Well, it was a dude from Oregon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's my entire point. It's not a Pro Bowler.
No. That is a good point.
Yeah.
Not a Pro Bowler. But, and Deion Bailey, undrafted guy out of USC. A lot of people really, and just people impressed with, I guess, his attitude and mentality out there.
Good.
And, you know, sounds like a good guy to talk to. But the reason why I think it's important is with Earl Thomas out, with Cam Chancellor out, it gives us an opportunity to see what the Legion of Boom looks like without those guys.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing because you think about it. I mean, when we've talked about it a few times on the podcast, especially strong safety and Earl being of a smaller stature, I don't know about the longevity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can say with certainty we got a solid 2 to 3 more years of Cam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Pass out, I don't know. So here's a little glimpse, you know, Earl being sidelined still from the shoulder surgery, which is fine. He's on track. He's doing well. He was activated off the PUP list. We talked about that. And Cam not being in camp because he wants more money and it's not going to happen. But it'll be interesting to see Deion Bailey and Deshaun Shedd and
Stephen Terrell.
And Stephen Terrell and all those
Chris
guys.
Chris Richard said he's an incredibly smart player. And nobody's going to be as fast as Earl, but.
Well, no. I mean, that's
Terrell's built kind of in that same. He has the same kind of build as Earl. You know, yeah. Smaller guy.
That's what they're saying about Bailey with Cam is, again, another bigger guy used to play linebacker. I mean, I think he's like 6 foot and 205, and Cam's like 6'3", 225.
Yeah, well, Cam's just crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not the same. But, you know, both those backups play a similar style to the guys that are ahead of them.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see the drop-off for sure. Although, I mean, again, they're going to be playing against an offense that's playing a vanilla scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, you'll just, at least you get to see guys out there trying and competing for roster spots, and it'll be as competitive as it can be without really game planning.
Anywhere else on defense where you want to look? Obviously, defensive line, a young guy like Frank Clark who had been tearing it up against the offensive line. I don't
supposedly.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Frank Clark is a huge one for me that I want to watch because, in all honesty, if I took his personal issues off the field and put that aside and just looking at his YouTube highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So, but again, his spark scores and all that were off the charts, and they say he's playing well in camp. I need to see it with my own eyes. I'm very curious about that. I'm really curious to see your boy go out there, KPL, Kevin Pierre-Louis.
Yeah, we'll talk about, I want to talk about the second year guys separately.
Okay. All right. And so I've got another guy that falls into that. Two other guys actually that fall into that. So we'll come back to that, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, defensive line, another spot to see how that kind of shakes out. Bruce Irvin.
Yeah, I want to see huge Bruce. Because apparently
he's put on 20 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he's get beefed up.
And still as fast, they say.
Well, okay, so I've heard now twice, two different rumors, where once he leaped the center from a dead standstill, and that he did the same thing over a ref.
I heard, I was watching Seahawks practice today, and he had leapt over one of those 6 foot tall tackling dummies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's motivated this year being on a contract year. And yeah, the crazy athlete he is. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see what he's looking like.
I actually have kind of developed a theory in my own head that we may have rushed to judgment to think that he might not be on this team after this year.
You think he has a crazy year and they find cap room?
Oh, if he has a crazy year, they're going to find guys that they can cut to keep Bruce Irvin on the team.
Well, again, that'd be those middle-tier guys. I mean, how many of those are really left?
Well, would it be a middle-tier guy, or do you look at a guy like Michael Bennett and say, hey, you know, last offseason, you talked a big game, and...
No, because you got Michael Bennett on the cheap in comparison to a guy of his talent level for the next couple years.
Right. But who do you start looking and say, well, maybe we could trade one of these guys and get draft picks?
I don't know. Maybe you're looking at a Marsh or something.
Just saying,
like
that. I'm not so sure I'm ready to write off Irvin being on this team if he has some
has
kind
a
of
big
great,
one.
Well, and if he has that great of a season where, you know, he makes
just a breakout year.
If he has a huge breakout year, maybe you can't even afford to pay him, keep him on the team because he goes to free agency. And, you know, a team, especially I think of a team that runs a 3-4, him being like a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, he's made for that.
If he's, you know, getting the sacks. And that's really part of the reason for him bulking up, too. I mean, yeah. I feel like he's moving into that kind of position, and that might benefit him when it comes time for contract talks. But
well, I wonder with him bulking up and moving inside a little bit more, you know, maybe back to inside, I guess is the better way to put it, because they started him out in that Leo position early in his career, and then they moved him out to outside linebacker, and now he's kind of bulked up back up to a D end Leo position kind of guy. Is that opening up spots then in the linebacking core for a guy like KPL? Because by all accounts,
Kevin Pierre-Louis, yeah, is sounding,
ripping it up,
and just a super athletic guy. You know, they're talking about maybe moving him over to KJ Wright's position because KJ Wright can play any of the linebacking positions, and
because he's awesome.
Again, got a lot to like in the Seahawks linebacking core. Let's talk about some of those second year guys.
Yeah,
Kevin Pierre-Louis, we've talked about him. Brock Coyle, another one of those second-year guys, undrafted out of the University of Montana, and another guy on the offensive line, Justin Britt. And one of the things that I've been hearing really consistently from second-year players giving interviews throughout the preseason is that they feel like now they understand the offense, or they understand the defense, whatever position, you know, whatever side of the ball they play on, they've really grasped the overall stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're able to start working on a lot of the technique, a lot of the small stuff. And to me, that's one of the exciting things to see about them going into the preseason is, okay, now that they have this stuff down, now that they're working on the little things, now that the game may be starting to slow down for them a little bit, you know, how are they going to, are we going to see some of those guys really break out?
Well, think about it in terms of anytime you've started a new job, right?
Yeah.
Look at yourself a month in and then.
Or 6 months in.
6 months in. Like, really, that's a good mark. Six mm-hmm. months, right? I mean, that's almost like your second. I mean, just for most jobs. By the time, you know, whether you're, you know, a rocket surgeon or something like that,
yeah.
You probably after about 6 months, like, you've got most of it down. Like, mm-hmm. at least the basics.
At least the basics.
Yeah. And you feel
you know how your day-to-day workload is going to go.
Right. And then you can start, you know, using some of your creativity
taking on extra jobs.
Or, right. You know, exactly. Yeah. It seems
doing
like
things more creatively.
Right. Or more efficiently. Or, yeah, exactly. Or you just have a better understanding of it overall and just how much better you feel and more comfortable you feel going in your job. It's the same thing here. It's no different. And these guys,
only they're world-class athletes and you're not.
Exactly. Exactly. And it'd be real cool if like I could run real fast and then, you know, learn how to catch a ball a little better or do something like that and get $1 million. But
or even just be a really, really good long snapper. I mean, that would be cool too.
Oh, that's like my dream job, man.
I know.
That or third string quarterback, man. Like that's pretty good work right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Now Charlie Whitehurst would agree with you.
Yeah.
He has a good life.
I don't hate on Charlie because I do understand like what he's doing. Uh-huh. Like I get it. But anyways,
he might be smarter than the rest of us.
Well, he's got his own way about it. That's for sure. But look, these guys. This is the year. You see, second, third year are kind of. That's when you can finally tell if a guy is going to be able to turn a corner or not. You usually don't see guys turn a corner much later in their career than that, and generally come in as a rookie and be a high impact player. You generally don't see that. It's usually in that second or third year where guys really seem to make that leap.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are with a couple of these guys. I mean, Britt, we're going to need Britt to be a lot better in pass protection.
Yes.
And so let's hope that one of those things that he's figured out is how to get a little quicker off the line and get a little better kick step back and set that edge. But I don't know. I mean, I guess out of those three that you bring up there, I'm probably the most excited to see what Kevin Pierre-Louis does. But I would add Cassius Marsh to that group as well.
Oh,
another second year guy, and somebody who gets it, has been working out real hard. And I think is this Jordan Hill's third year or second year?
I think it might be his third year now.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because last year, his first year, he was mostly injured. Then
right.
Second
so
year.
So it's almost like his redshirt second year.
Yeah.
In a way. And I start thinking about that defensive line and the type of rushers that we have when they get to the nickel package. When you start getting Averill, Bennett, Jordan Hill, Irvin, and Cassius Marsh all out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a quick group. Oh, and did I mention Frank Clark too? If he's any good.
Yeah.
Man, that's a solid rotation.
Oh, you got Bobby Wagner that can rush the passer.
Yeah,
we don't do that a lot
You've with seen Bobby him, though. But here and there we'll
get
blitz.
In there.
Here and there they'll blitz, but yeah, you don't see that a lot. Seahawks really aren't a big blitzing team, or
no.
haven't been in the past.
No, they haven't been
really. So, yeah, they really try to generate that pass rush with their front four or five, however many they're going to bring.
And mm-hmm.
man, I just look at that. Those are killers out there. I think they are deeper in the pass rush than they have been under Pete Carroll and John Schneider's regime ever.
Knock on wood, if they stay healthy.
Well, you have enough guys to sustain an injury or two.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's the argument with any team is knock on wood, stay healthy. But yeah. We'll see if they toss Peyton Manning out there to see if those guys can come after him for a snap or two. I don't know
it
if there
might only be a snap or two.
Yeah, I don't know that you're gonna see that. I'm excited to see the future
Brock
of the Broncos.
Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler, for you know, Kalispell boy.
Yeah,
from our hometown.
From our hometown, went to our high school.
Flathead Brave. Yeah,
so. 2 years behind us, but
a few,
a few,
solid decade and a half
you
or
know.
So.
Is yeah, that, just that much.
Yeah, about that. But so yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, I think those are all excellent guys to watch, and it'll be interesting to see along with Kerry Williams who. That Pete Carroll has said that position, right corner, is still an open competition. It is Kerry Williams to lose, but still an open competition.
Mm-hmm. One interesting story that I'm starting to see coming out of camp on the defensive side, started on the offensive side, is Douglas McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who came into camp as a wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
and they've really been working at switching him over to corner. And whether or not he ends up making the final 53.
I think that's a foregone conclusion, right?
I think it's kind of a reach for him to.
Yeah, we're looking right, like stash him on practice squad.
Yeah,
and, exactly. And continue to work him out at corner and see if he can make some strides there.
But just interesting to see if come third, fourth quarter, you see Douglas McNeil out there playing a little bit of corner.
Oh, you're going to see it. You're definitely going to see it. Whether or not it's this game or not, I don't know. But maybe the fourth game for sure, when really none of the starters play. I think you could see that for sure. But yeah.
Just interesting to me. The idea of guys switching from playing one position after making it professionally
to a professional level,
making it through college to a professional level at a position, and then switching to a completely different position,
mm-hmm.
is just it fascinates me. J.R. Sweezy fascinates me. You know, Drew Nowak, that story. You know, even though it's going into his fourth year,
First year here, though.
Watcham is the guy on defense, on the defensive line from Oregon.
Receiver.
Who was a wide receiver converted to defensive line. Now, that's weird.
That is beyond weird.
Wide receiver to corner, that was not about so weird. Defensive lineman to offensive lineman, not so weird.
That's weirder when I switched from playing the saxophone to French horn. Going from a woodwind to a brass instrument.
That's weird.
It was weird. It was completely different. But that's even weirder, wide receiver to D-line.
Yeah, so that's another guy. We haven't brought up his name yet.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see him get out there and just run around like a chicken with his head cut off. Yeah. I mean, because he's a high motor guy and he's fast and he's all that. I mean, he's just got a million things to learn yet. Just run around out there, man. Try to get that quarterback.
Try and get the quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of does it for defense for me.
Yeah.
On offense, I guess we want to talk quarterback for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Will RJ Archer look any better during a game than he does in practice?
Does it matter?
No.
No.
Wide receiver, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot to think
about.
Man,
a lot of dudes.
There's a lot of dudes.
And I'm starting to root for, I'm starting to get to know like Kaysom Williams' story, or Kaysom.
Kaysom Williams.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Kaysom Williams.
Wide receiver out of University of Washington.
Yeah. And then also Kevin Smith, wide receiver out of UW.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy where I'm like, God, that's a solid dude too. Like you hear him talk and they're good people.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I'm rooting for you too. And like, you know.
Then there's BJ Daniels, who had been the third string quarterback switching to wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot of things out there, you know, trying him out on special teams. I think I saw him fielding punt returns, mm-hmm. in practice.
And then you've got Tyler Lockett out there, who apparently ESPN doesn't know what he looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because on the Bleach Report team stream, anyway, it's an ESPN article. It says Lockett already looking like a polished receiver, number 83. It was number 83. wrong Lockett.
There's two different lines.
That was Ricardo.
Going back to Kaysom Williams, I'm kind of thinking that he could be the guy to replace Ricardo Lockett, which, to mm-hmm. be honest, for me, it would be an okay thing, a really good thing, in fact, because you can't have two Locketts in the receiving core. That's confusing.
Too many Locketts?
Too many Locketts.
Look, the Cardinals are making it work with all the Browns.
But that confuses me, too.
Well,
and they're both Jay Brown.
And think about it in this way, though, as an opposing defense, like all the Locketts run out there, you don't know who's got which Lockett.
You think it'll be that confusing?
I don't know. Maybe teams get confused with the Browns.
Well, there's a little Lockett and a big Lockett, at least.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So
I guess maybe that won't be as confusing. Maybe. I don't know the Brown height difference.
I have no idea either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so wide receiver, interesting. Chris Matthews, obviously, listening to Pete Carroll. Coach Pete Carroll, or Peach Carroll.
Peach
if you want to.
Peachy Carroll.
I like Peach Carroll.
Well, he's got a pretty positive outlook on life, so.
But coaching staff is showing a lot of confidence in him, it sounds like, just in the way they're talking about him, and mm-hmm. and Carroll talking about how they're not asking the question of if he can replicate. They're going into practice with the assumption of, yes, this is going to be his role.
This is what
he
is.
Guy. That is who he is.
I'm wholly uncomfortable with that. I mean, I'm sure they've seen a lot more than I have. I've seen one game.
Right.
I guess that's my whole point. I've been saying it for episode after episode now. It's just everybody's so jazzed about this dude. And it's like, man, it's just one game. Mm-hmm. Just one game. I mean, David Tyree didn't catch another pass in the NFL after the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Right.
Had a huge game. He, a lot of people forget, he scored a touchdown earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't catch another pass in the NFL.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Not saying, I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, just a lot of guys in the receiving core. And then at tight end, you have, so you have Jimmy Graham, mm-hmm. obviously,
mm-hmm.
And then you have Luke Wilson. And you have Anthony McCoy. I guess Cooper Helfitt has had a cracked rib, so he's
yes.
been out a little bit. But listening to Graham in press conferences, I heard him drop a hint that we could see three tight ends on the field at one time.
That's one tight end too many if you're putting Luke Wilson out there, because I am so sick of him dropping the dang ball.
But think about this, Adam. If in the past we've talked about not having any big guys
on the
field.
Was this a tricky wishbone? Is that what this is?
Well, I just... just the idea of, we've always wanted big receivers. We want big mm-hmm. receivers because, you know, our receiving core is too small. They're just a bunch of little guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Jimmy Graham, who's 6'7".
Split him out.
You split him out. On the other side, you have Chris Matthews,
right.
6'5".
Mm-hmm.
And then your two tight ends, Anthony McCoy, 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Wilson, 6'5".
Yeah.
You have four pass catchers on the field at one time who are 6'5 or bigger. When has that ever happened on the Seahawks?
It hasn't. And I'll tell you exactly the play call when you do that. Everybody run to the middle of the field about 35 yards down and Wilson will just chuck it up.
Right?
No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Like, just one of you just catch it.
Yeah.
And then we'll move down the field.
Exactly.
That's the play.
We'll just, it'll be like Tecmo Bowl, where you just run the same play over and over again.
Yeah. Bevel will just be like, okay, he'll be okay. talking to Russ. He's like, okay, what play are we going to run? We're running tall guy.
The play.
No, the play.
The play.
The play. Yeah, exactly. Just call it tall guy.
Yeah.
All the tall guys run to the middle of the field, chuck it up.
It's the up and the A button on your Nintendo controller.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think that'd be a run play, though.
Oh, yeah, B button then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Passes are the B button.
That's there. Right. Yeah, those are the only plays worth running in Tecmo Bowl.
That's right.
Jared likes to run the ball. I throw the heck out of the ball.
Tecmo. As long as you can find the one play that beats the defense every time and then just keep running it.
Well, it depends on if they pick your play or not.
Well, that's true.
But I'll tell you the one that...
you
that
just get crushed.
There's one that is the play in Tecmo Bowl, and that's when it's two tight ends, two receivers, two backs behind you,
uh-huh.
and they run the two backs out around just out into the flats. The tight end runs a slant down the middle, and then you've got two nine routes going on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And even if they pick your play, if you're quick, you can get to the tight end every time for 9 yards.
Okay.
And then
I thought you were going to pick, say that you had to have Randall Cunningham in the backfield and you just run around him.
Well,
and get
that's
just,
well, no, that's like picking Bo Jackson, you know, on a play in Tecmo Bowl. But yeah. Yeah. But hopefully we run a Tecmo Bowl, you know, tall guy play like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yep. I'm excited to see special teams even.
Well, and they said they've had Lockett and Graham moving all over the place in the formations. I think Bevel's having fun with his toys.
Yeah, maybe we'll see that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
maybe we will see. But
God,
yeah.
I want Tyler Lockett to be good.
I do. Hey,
I heard Brady Quinn talking about Tyler Lockett today, and the way he was talking about him in his impact, possible impact on this offense. He's like, I think he's going to have just as much impact as Jimmy Graham. He's like, I'm not taking anything from Jimmy Graham. I'm just saying Tyler Lockett's going to be that good.
That much of an impact.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Definitely the hype train is Lockett.
Yeah.
And he's going to be your kick returner and your punt returner. And so we'll see how he does with
speaking
that.
Speaking of special teams, yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Nate Boyer on the field.
Yeah.
For a long snap.
Okay. We got to call out Mike Salk and Brock today, right? Or was it yesterday where they were talking about how Nate Boyer just looks like the pudgy short dude running around out there?
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm saying. He's a Green Beret.
And he put on, well, pudgy.
That's what they said. They said he looks like he's like the 5'8 pudgy regular dude running around out there.
He's like 6'10. That's the thing that is crazy about.
He's 6'10?
Not 6'10.
I was going to say, he should be a starting
center.
He's
6 foot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's 6 foot tall. And I don't know why. Maybe I was thinking 5'10. But
I don't know.
Anyway. That's
I was like, he chose the wrong sport.
A guy that's, you know, average height, looking small amongst giants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think most of you remember when I talked about being on the sideline and watching Cam Chancellor run by me at a space of about 6 inches,
mm-hmm.
like just run right past me. And he's listed at what, 6'3", 225,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, at the time, yeah.
You put pads and helmet on a guy that big, though.
Well, on top of that, right. But I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
I'm 6'1". At the time, I was about 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Very different dudes. Like, I wasn't even close to as big as him, even though statistic-wise, it wasn't that big of a difference. But, yeah, I mean, we're different species. Like, so, right. yeah, if Nate looks a little different out there, sure. But, you know, if the bleep goes down on the practice field,
that's the guy you want.
I want Nate Boyer out there.
Right.
He's your Bruce Willis out there.
They did an article on him. I think it was the Seahawks, the John Boyle. They did an article about who you would want with you, like just out in wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And they took Nate Boyer completely out of it because he was just the obvious choice.
Yeah, it's just not fair, right?
And so it was who else do you want besides Nate Boyer?
I'll tell you. You want the Canadian weapon.
No. No, you don't.
You want John Ryan.
No, you want Brock Coyle.
No, I want the Canadian weapon.
The guy from Montana.
Well, I understand. It's a little rough. It's tougher in Canada. It is. The bears are bigger. The fish are bigger.
John will know where to get maple syrup.
Yeah, and he'll also ninja the crap out of anything that comes towards you. Isn't he an American Ninja Warrior?
That's true. Yeah. If a grizzly bear came running at John Ryan with his punting foot could boot that grizzly right in the face.
He'll scare them off with his gingerness. They've never seen that in the wild.
You make
Wolverine's coming at you, and he just gingers him back, man. Like, yeah, gives him the ginger stare.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, think of how far he could punt a Wolverine.
Strong points.
Yeah.
Something to think about for sure.
But no, that's a good point. I can't believe I sold Brock Coyle short there.
I know.
Well, right. I'm sorry, Brock. Montana boys can't do that to one another.
Can't sell out a Montana.
Well, that's why I said.
Like
that's
that.
Why Canada should just be more Montana.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you're looking for during the game, Adam?
During the game.
Obviously a win.
I'm looking to see.
That's going to happen.
I'm looking to see what they do in goal line situations, if maybe they run the ball. It's really what I'm looking for.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, Marshawn,
maybe a little more running in those situations.
A little more running in the goal line situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether that's Turbin or Michael.
Yeah.
You know, but
Turbin's not going to be back yet. He's still out, isn't he?
I don't think.
Isn't Turbin still recovering from his.
No, he's been full go in practice.
Oh, okay.
And looking awesome, by the way. Apparently, he's faster than ever. And
oh, good. Well, here I was thinking that we were just going to see Kristen Michael and Thomas Rawls facing off.
Well,
at the
there you go. Hey,
position.
all interesting things, though. Like, this is Kristen Michael make or break. And
it feels that way, doesn't it?
I want to see him put up some huge numbers so we can trade him to the Texans for a second.
Yeah. A second would be good.
I know. That'd be amazing.
That'd be a strong trade.
That'd be a huge trade. It won't happen.
No.
at best, you could probably get a fourth, right?
Right. That's kind of, I think, what...
And I don't know that I'm willing to give up on a cost control guy like Kristen Michael.
Not with the uncertainty of what Turbin might do in his contract season, because this is Turbin's contract year.
It is.
And
that's a good point.
And Marshawn Lynch, where you don't know.
Hey, Turbin's one of those guys. Like, I mean, you talk about guys that aren't on the team that would help with keeping a guy like a Bruce Irvin or another big name. Like, there's a name right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people will be looking at Turbin as a starting back somewhere in this league.
Yeah, and he won't make a ton of money, but he won't make the minimum either.
Right, and we've talked ad nauseum about the cap structure.
Got rid of most of those guys.
Yeah, middle class, be gone. It's a structure. It's a reflection of America.
Although their low class are.
Your lower football class. In terms of the world, our low class, doing pretty good.
Still
living with first world problems.
Yes.
Obama gave me this phone. That video cracks me up every time. It's so ridiculous. That poor lady just doesn't know what she's talking about.
My wife was telling me about a video where Obama was trying to dip his cookie in milk or something, and it hit the edges of the glasses.
Yeah.
And I think he's blamed Obama.
Yeah.
For his cookie not going in the milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. I had to cut my hike short and go pick up my kid's bassoon today early. Obama's fault. I blame him.
Speaking of things that you might want to blame Obama for, or equally as ridiculous as blaming Obama for, Wilson,
or any president.
Wilson taking less money so the Hawks could sign Bobby Wagner.
Shut your dirty face, Mark Rogers. I'm so tired of you. Oh my Lord. When I read that, I was like, you're just not smart, are you? Like, or maybe you're so smart that you don't understand that we're not all that dumb.
Right. That's pretty...
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. I posted this up on the Facebook
page.
Made
me throw up a little bit in my mouth.
I put it up on the Facebook page, and I asked people to pick the most likely scenario. And number one was that you had that Natalie Portman had accepted your engagement.
Oh, right. And, which, getting back to that just for one quick second.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I formally announced it on here, and so she doesn't know other than just a little Facebook post, but Natalie, it's time for you to marry me. Let's just get it done. Let's just get it done. And instead of, and anytime she's referred to on this podcast anymore, it's no longer Natalie Portman. It's the future Mrs. Emmer. I just want to make sure we do that right.
There you go. So, yeah, so that was scenario number one. Mm-hmm. Scenario number two, mm-hmm. that Wilson did, in fact, take less money so the Hawks could sign Bobby Wagner. And then number three was that the podcast stickers got mailed out.
Right.
And I was impressed to see that most of the listeners were congratulating you on your engagement.
That hasn't happened quite yet, folks, but I'm working on it.
But I was proud of them at picking that as the most likely scenario.
Yeah,
that
I mean, proud of them? Like you seem like that's an uncertainty of some kind.
It's
happening, Brandon.
I know, but that was
okay,
the most likely
scenario. I may have to drug her heavily, but this is getting done.
Uh-huh.
Kidnapping, schmidnapping. They used to do... Some people call it tradition when you kidnap a bride.
Let's not be premeditating our felonies, Adam.
Those are some cultural traditions in some cultures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Kidnapping a woman, then she's your bride. That's how it works.
Well, there you go. You can... Mm-hmm.
And she's smart. She went to Harvard. She should understand this and have that kind of cultural sensitivity.
Outstanding rapper, by the way. Underrated.
Underrated. She's underrated in a lot of aspects. She might be my number one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Her... Zoe Saldana, that'd probably be my number two.
Okay.
And then maybe Mila Kunis, number three.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, she needs to ditch that Ashton dude, man. She could do way better.
Way better.
Do better!
like third in line for the... She's two sucker punches away from from being your next...
I'm saying anybody in that top three, if any of them throws down at any given time, the other two are gone. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's first come, first serve. There's only so much Adam to go around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, what do you say?
Off the skis.
We are off the skis. What do you
still
say
off season. This is officially the last off season, so I get to do this.
I guess that's true. 49ers.
Wow.
We mentioned their downward spiral. Talk about off the skis. Their stadium. They can't keep grass from...
Dying,
yeah.
Yeah,
grass, an important element of the field, as it turns out.
Hey, look, I applaud them. They're letting it go gold. And really, it matches their unis. When you think about it, then they would have camo unis.
You could get a job being a PR person for the Niners,
I could
Adam.
Get a job being
you
their groundskeeper.
Perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just letting it go gold.
Yeah.
Just letting it go gold.
I'm letting it go gold. Yeah, exactly. It's a new thing this year.
Well.
Yeah.
There you go. At least it's not a red field.
Eastern Washington fans. Garbage, yeah. But
got to get those shots in there.
Here we go, Grizz. So, yeah, anyways, boy, they can't get grass to grow.
Can't get Alden Smith to not get arrested.
And to stop the drinking and driving.
Yeah, although, did it come out? Did his toxicology results come out yet? Because there was that.
Oh, okay.
He was arrested on suspicion. Of
all right, then maybe not. Okay,
of being under the influence of alcohol.
But man, you got to think of how hard you have to work to get arrested.
I've never been arrested, so I think it takes.
But I'm
work.
A white male, so I understand that the bar's a little bit
different.
A little like it's a little easier for me. I get that. I get it, and it's not right. But you have to be in some real knucklehead situations to be get. Look, once is a coincidence, twice is a trend, three times is a you problem.
Are we like five or six times with Alden Smith?
Five or six times, man. Like I just feel sorry for you, man. Yes. Like you seriously have a lack of ability to get it together, and I'm truly concerned for the young man. I really am. Yeah. I really am.
Well, just like with anybody, you hope that they're able to get their life together. Once
well, he's done
spirals.
With football.
Well. He's one of those guys, though, where you say he
sure,
has
team gives him
talent.
A chance, but then what does Goodell do?
Yeah,
he's not going to let him back on the field. If Brady's getting four freaking games for a half a pound of PSI that may or may not have happened and getting railroad, Alden Smith is done.
He could be done for a little while. Yeah.
If Blackman, and, if and Justin Blackman see, is done down in Jacksonville,
you don't see Josh
Alden
Gordon
Smith is
coming
done.
Back. You don't see Blackman
he's
coming back.
He's done. He's done. And he really just flushed his that lifestyle away.
But you
his
hope,
life is different now.
But you hope somebody can get to him and say, look at these other scenarios. Get yourself, you know, do what Johnny Manziel did and put yourself in rehab
he's
for whatever
so
you need to be
Manziel,
in rehab
though.
For. And get
he's already been
right
to rehab.
Life.
He's already been to rehab.
Well, not enough.
Well, there's some people where rehab just flat doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean,
get him out in the woods. Some that does really well for some people. Get out in the woods.
And, I know the exact one. Go to the Wilderness Treatment Plant out near Libby.
Yeah.
Montana. It's out near my family's lake house.
Mm-hmm. Getting outside does well for some people.
Dude, it that changed your rotten perspective right there. Like you'd be in a better state of mind. But I really am rooting for him. I hope somehow he maybe like a Tony Dungy comes into his life or somebody like that gets through to him and really helps him because he needs it. It's true. And you know, one thing I did hear Tom Sula say is that he may be off the team, but he's not alone.
Yeah.
And I'll give him some credit for that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I just think if Junior Gallette can get on with a team somewhere, that Alden Smith, he can get a roster spot with some team.
He can get a roster spot, but I don't think
but whether
he plays.
Or not he makes it back.
Yeah. I don't know that he plays, you know, and because he's going to have to be off the field for a year or two now.
Yeah.
And you see a guy misses a year or two. Look at Vic. He misses 2 years and he's never the same.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll miss 2 years. He could potentially miss a year, maybe 10 games. We'll see.
Oh, he's missing at least a year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. We got anything else?
I don't think so.
What do you say we come back with some Do Better and Better at Life?
Sounds like that.
We are back. This is the Seahawkers Podcast, your official podcast of the official booster club of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm Brandon Schultz with Adam Emmert, and we're going to get into some emails. We're going to get into our usual segments of Do Better, and who is better at life than Skip Bayless?
You bet.
Low bar.
Yeah, they've been established. Established, but somebody's got to do it every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've determined that it's us.
Exactly.
It's our job. Until Skip Bayless moves on and we have to change it to Pete Prisco.
To like the next, like the afterlife or something?
Oh, well, I don't.
I mean, because he's not stopping until he's dead.
Is that how it works?
He's going to say dumb crap until he dies.
Skip Bayless is like the Pope of bad sports takes?
Yeah. 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 And like, what? That would make Pete Prisco like a sub-pope. Like
going, a cardinal.
A cardinal, that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably a few more underling cardinals pope. That we could put in that group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, before we get on to email, I have a review, Adam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
overseas review. Overseas okay. Review. See, now that's good because lately there haven't been really any from the States here.
No, not since when? July? June?
Yeah.
I think June.
Yeah.
Last time we
What is my ego supposed to do without you guys saying nice things? Or saying bad things that I can get mad at and make fun of you about.
I know. It really should be one way or the other.
Yeah.
So if you
go with a 3-star rating.
That's about the worst thing you could do.
What are you doing? I don't think there has been one.
That's like there hasn't been. Because that's like
have an opinion.
Literally shrugging your shoulders and being like, eh.
Yeah, you know. Meh. That should be your review is meh.
Meh.
Yeah, so don't be doing that. But get in and write in because
or do it. I mean, it could be funny.
It could be funny. That's true. But here's the thing, though.
You could be the first one in with a 3-star review.
Right.
So you'd have that to put on your resume.
Yeah, man. but I think the big thing here is that if you do get the reviews in and all that, it boosts the show.
It does.
So our ratings are in iTunes is higher. It makes it easier for folks to find the show because remember the day when you first found the show? And you were like, hallelujah, and the skies opened, and like you're like, finally, Seahawks banter that
finally,
I can listen to.
I will be more desirable to women.
Yeah.
I will make more money.
Yeah.
I'll or desirable to men, because ladies are listening to this show, too.
Oh, yeah. And just clearly, to the opposite sex or the whatever works for you.
Whatever works.
I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. You'll just
be more desirable
there we
overall.
Go. Yeah. Done. That makes that easy. Yeah. And you'll be richer. You'll be richer, more mysterious, and more desirable.
All for listening to the show.
Right. And so
there's
help,
really no downside.
So help other people become that as well. And rate the show so that it gets up there so people are able to find it. And you can do that on Stitcher. You can do that on iTunes. You can do that on all the other thingies.
You can also subscribe to the show, which helps as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a big deal.
As it turns out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get to this review because we do, like you said, we need our egos boosted up a little bit every one now and then.
I know I do.
This one says, a must for Seahawks fans. From Doc Scott 31 in the UK.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, essential listening for Seahawks fans, especially if you're based outside the U.S. where Seahawks news can be hard to come by. Adam and Brandon are easy to listen to and dedicated to keeping fans up to date with everything Hawks related. Funny, insightful, and informative. Subscribe. See, even Doc says subscribe.
Yeah, because he knows the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
I wonder if anyone who listens to our show actually was at the Doc Scott show he was at the Monkey Loft in Seattle.
Was he really?
So if you don't know, Doc Scott is drum and bass in that genre of music, drum and bass. And
I didn't know he was over in Seattle.
I didn't find out until I was watching Twitter, and he tweeted out a picture of he was at a Mariners game.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh.
I probably would have gone out for that.
I gave him a do better.
Okay,
I said, you need to time your schedule with the actual, with
football
game.
Yeah.
And he's screwing that up. Next year.
Okay, good. Because that's a long trip.
I know.
From over in England.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to work your football game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball season. I mean, that's cool too. But time it out with the football game.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Doc. We appreciate it,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah. Hope you had a good time when you were in C-Town.
Yeah. You were on a podcast last week.
Yeah, I was.
How'd that go?
It was actually pretty fun. Just a bunch of dudes that like talking ball.
Uh-huh.
And, I had my name wrong for the last half of it.
Paul? Were you Paul?
Josh. Yeah, but that was cool.
You look like a Paul.
I look like a lot of people.
If I weren't going to call you Adam, I would call you Paul.
Here's something that's weird. I must be either very generic. I'd make a great spy because people come up to me all the time. Like, this was... in the grocery store, not but like 2 months ago, and this dude comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, how about that wreck last night?"
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was at home. He's like, "No, man, you were there." Like, this happens to me all the time. People come up and they think I'm somebody else all the time.
Uh-huh.
All the time. And yeah, must have happened with this too. But we had fun.
Yet you have not been arrested in a significant amount of time.
it's been a long time.
Pretty good to look like a lot of people.
Right. And exactly. That could go the wrong way.
Go badly for you.
Yeah. So no, it was a lot of fun.
Thankfully, people that look like you are relatively good natured.
True, and good looking. So
right.
I mean, it all works out in the end. But for as far as being on the show, it was a good time. We had a good talk. It was three to four guys that kind of shifted in and out of the show when guys would kind of come and go. And but a lot of fun.
Well, fun times. What's the name of the show? Do you remember?
I don't either. But I do have the link.
But you were there.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But thanks to Isaiah for having me on, and we do appreciate it. So he had texted me the link just yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So I will get that to you.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
But I wanted to hear how it went.
Oh, yeah. No, it went good. The hardest part is I think it was a Blog Talk Radio sort of thing, and I have a hard time with voices over electronic medium if it's
especially
garbled,
if they're calling you by the wrong name.
Well, that too, like sometimes I miss that they were talking to me, but yeah, if they get a little if it gets a little garbly, just with my poor hearing working in sawmills and growing up underneath a runway, like I have a hard time hearing people.
Sure.
So but other than that, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Right on. Well, we have some I got a Facebook post that I want to read from Clairvoyant Dave. Dave says something.
Clairvoyant Dave needs theme music.
We do.
Yes.
We find some theme music.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't
Dave.
Even have to be big. It could just be like the woo woo woo.
Something.
A sound effect. Something. Yeah. What happened to our soundboard, by the way? You had a soundboard going for
I did. I need to do better.
Well, no, you're doing fine. I'm just saying, I mean, is that something we're going to do for the season?
I will see what I can do.
Or should I do it on this new thingy?
We'll see what I can do.
Okay. Well, I've just got this tablet thing now. Maybe that works.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could. Generally, I can put my sound clips right on my laptop monitor and play those as necessary.
Gotcha.
But I've been slacking, Adam.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. Slacking. But Clairvoyant Dave, coming at us. Is there another prediction?
Yes.
Okay.
Adam.
Yeah.
I'm a big Tebow fan. As a person, I think he represents everything that we should admire in a person and a football player. But clairvoyant Dave here just can't see Tebow getting anything more than some goal line packages and two-point conversions.
He's seen Sam Bradford's knees, right?
He says, assuming that Tebow even makes the roster.
Seen Bradford's knees, right?
Apparently that's...
And you've seen the butt fumble.
Are you asking if clairvoyant Dave is seeing something? Is not seeing something you're seeing?
I'm just saying those things happen. I didn't have to look into the future to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay.
He says, I hope I'm wrong because I'd love to see Tebow get another chance as a starter.
All right.
But I've got nothing in my crystal football.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm out on my own there.
That Adam falls for a Niners fan eventually. Mark it down.
How dare you? How dare you, Dave? Number one, if you're going to be making predictions about who's... Well, okay, first...
Natalie Portman, not a 49ers fan.
Right. Okay, so there's that. But here's the thing.
I don't know that for sure.
He's going to be... It's true fact now because I put her on notice that that can't be happening.
That can't be.
But, here's the thing. Like, first off, he needs to be predicting that somebody's going to fall for me. Like, instead of me falling for them, number one. Number two, man, hook a brother up and predict me falling for a seagull.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Don't be doing me dirty like that with a Niners fan.
We have a seagull on the news in our hometown.
That's true. Heidi Miley. Yeah, a news anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he couldn't predict that.
You couldn't predict that. Although, she's a very nice gal. Just not my type.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little too bubbly.
She's different off air than she is on air.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. I've never had an interaction with her.
Where I learned to ride horses out at the Forest Service camp out at 9 Mile, West of Missoula here. She was also there doing a news story.
Oh, is Heidi Miley cool then?
Yeah, she was cool.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Predict that, Dave. Come on.
Predict that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I mean, if you're going to be an oracle, be a good one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be waiting on Dave's apology. We have another listener apology to get to. We have a couple of them, actually.
Oh, okay. It's about time.
I know.
Because I think we've apologized enough for even putting out this show.
Well, you can...
apologies for everyone.
Yeah. Apologies all around.
Yeah.
John Davison.
Oh.
Says, Yahoo! Football is coming up this weekend, so I'm getting excited.
Yeah.
Plus, I got an email from the Pick'ems. So are you running the Seahawks Podcast League again?
Oh, yeah.
I am ready to join again and try to win it this time. It was really good last year, and it gave me a great deal of pleasure, as well as looking at the whole league. Barry and I have created our own mini league and invited the two of us to join. So,
oh, really? I'm in.
Have to do that.
I mean, wait a second. Is it picks or is it like...
It's picks.
Okay, cool. Because if it's fantasy, I'm not doing that.
No. It's for AFRTS listeners. Armed Forces Radio Television
Services.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an acronym.
I just can't,
who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Artists.
AFARTS is what we called it in the military. That's a much better acronym.
I think my sister called me that growing up.
Says, hope you can join, and we would just like to apologize to Adam for being born in the wrong continent.
Yeah. How dare you?
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's your apology, Adam.
Thank you. That's all I wanted.
And
John and Barry.
So after last week when we read Dave in Hong Kong's email about, looking forward to us helping through the losses.
Yeah.
He says, you nincompoops. I was talking about how you consoled us in the past. Like when we lost to Indy, San Diego, KC, and the Cheatriots.
Okay. That name's got to stop.
He's pretty big on the Cheatriots.
I know he is.
Yeah.
I'm just letting him know.
So I explained to Dave that his grammar incriminated him and he says, you're going to hang me dry with some semantics. Laugh out loud. Hashtag.
Yeah, I'm just going to call you Tom Brady at that point then. I'm going to hang you to dry just over some semantics.
And then he says, hashtag.
See how it feels?
He says, hashtag 19-0. So
okay.
I want to say, Dave, I accept your apology.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to your future apology for not hashtagging your post 23-0. 23-0.
Yep.
Because if you count the 4 preseason wins.
Exactly.
It's going to be 23.
Brandon can't pull one past you, man.
I know.
Yeah. You're right. You know.
Well, Dave, he's just...
He's trying, though.
He is trying.
Hey, look, man, it's got to be hard. He's got a new wife to please.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I can see how you
he's
could,
learning a new language,
okay,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
Overseas. Yeah. You can let a four preseason wins slip through the cracks. I can yeah. understand that. Okay. I'll give you a pass just, on that, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do accept your apology.
Exactly.
On the
You'll give him those four preseason games if they let Brady off the hook for these four stupid games.
Yeah. Suspend Brady for the four preseason games. There
we
Problem
go.
Problem solved.
There we go. Problem solved. I love that. That's a great compromise right there.
There you go.
I should be a federal judge in New York.
you could have it all worked out by now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our last email is from Colin in the UK. Says, as the season approaches, I find myself once again having to turn to the podcast for guidance. You may
from
recall,
Papa Stringer?
Yeah.
He needs our guidance?
He needs our guidance.
But he's the patriarch of the Stringers. And,
yes.
Okay.
But
all
this
right.
is this is important.
All
I,
right.
You may recall that along with, I am sure, many Hawks fans, my second favorite NFL team is the whoever's playing the 49ers.
Okay.
So, however, following
the, I understand that.
Following the departure of the easy-to-loathe Coach Harbaugh and his equally loathsome khaki pants, oh, and then he stars it. He says, please note correct use of U.S. terminology. In the U.K., pants are what you wear under your trousers. It's also an adjective.
That would look weird.
It would, it
and
would
it look. Seems redundant having pants under your trousers.
That's two pairs
that's
of pants.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. do you wear boots and pants? And boots and
so
pants.
So that's also an adjective describing something that's totally useless or complete rubbish, as in the San Francisco 49ers are pants, or their field is pants.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a derogatory term.
It's a derogatory term.
Oh, I love this.
I do. I like
I'm it. Adopting this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to make this part American English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, pants.
Yeah, we need to pass that on to Steve Rabel, and because catfish would be like the ultimate,
something's
like
great.
Self-censored. No, like, holy catfish, you know, mm-hmm. you're self-censoring, mm-hmm. but like you, if something, maybe a ref makes a bad call, that's a bunch of pants.
Yeah. Ooh, you're right.
Yeah.
Rabel needs to know.
Rabel needs another self-censoring
and
term.
Think, and then we're also including the English listener.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Back to the email. Mm-hmm. Following the departure, tough to continue to, a lot of...
To root for the team that's playing the 49ers.
Right.
Because
a lot of unfortunate retirements, free agency losses. He says he's starting to feel sorry for them, Adam.
I understand.
He says, I must admit, you guys haven't helped by getting rival podcasters on the show and showing them that 49, showing him that 49ers fans are also people.
Well,
said,
look,
I just
okay.
can't bring myself to hate them as much as I did.
Remember originally in the Constitution where some people were like 3/8 of a person?
Uh-huh.
That's how a 49ers fan is.
Yeah.
They're like 3/8 of a human being. They're like a subhuman.
Well, see, the way I like to think of it is that now we're bringing those people up out of the hate realm into just sports hate.
Right. Like, okay, there you go. That's like, a good way to put
you
it.
You don't want to hate those guys, but you want to sports hate. And
yeah.
So we've elevated them
right.
to at least the okay to sports
right.
hate.
I don't want them to get hit by a truck, but right. I want their team to get just beat the pants off of them every
right.
single week. Yeah.
Yeah. So that they are pants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they are a bunch of pants.
So he says, does this make me less of a 12? Should I seek medical advice?
No.
Or... failing that you could suggest another team to compete for the whoever's playing phrase.
Mm.
The Cardinals are an obvious candidate because yeah. they're the closest thing we have to a division rival.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have a leaning toward the Packers, given they are so beloved by the media who haven't quite forgiven the Hawks for spoiling their dream Brady Rogers Super Bowl. Also, they have the odious Clay Matthews and the ludicrously monikered Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Any help would be gratefully received. Mm-hmm. Although in writing this email, I may have answered my own question. Go Hawks. Go whoever's playing the Cheeseheads. Colin Stringer.
Look, I think he's right. I mean, as the head of the Stringer household, his feelings are right. You got to trust your gut. And lead on this. Yeah, I think you're right on where you're going with your sports hatred a little bit. Now, here's the thing, though. I've always kind of liked the Packers a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a franchise that I could get behind, especially yeah. when they were going up against the Cowboys when it was Favre, you know, taking it to Aikman and
sure.
and all that. Because I truly do despise the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
That's
a good one. Who's ever playing the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's an easy one, right?
The Raiders.
Yeah.
It's always been that way.
Yeah, I'd say. See, now here you go. This is where the compassion doesn't. I still hate the Raiders, and they've sucked forever. ever. I don't even feel bad for him.
You know what I would tell Colin?
I don't feel bad
for him. What I would tell Colin right here? The team, whoever's playing the 49ers, that team, they're just now getting really good. So you don't want to give up on that team yet. Because now your team's winning a lot of games.
Right.
Whoever's playing the 49ers is doing really well.
True.
Because the 49ers are not.
Right, and so, we don't want the Cardinals or the Rams to.
So you don't want to jump off the bandwagon when your team's getting team's getting good.
Maybe the dark horse is the Rams.
Yeah,
like for a few reasons. Number one, they were probably the biggest rival in the division when the Seahawks first entered the division.
The only team to beat the Seahawks at home, at the Clink.
Right, and Jeff Fisher and all of his stupid trick play crap.
In the playoffs. Did I mention in the playoffs? The only
team to beat the Seahawks in the playoffs
at home.
All right. I'm glad you clarified because I was sitting there thinking a bit. Yeah.
You go back a ways. Yeah, we got beat in the Kingdom.
Right. But and then all of Jeff Fisher's crap plays and his trick plays and all that nonsense. And, you know, the way they're going to hang their fans out to dry and go to L.A.
Yeah.
Screw the Rams. Let's sports hate the Rams,
there
too.
You go. Lots of options.
And that defensive line who just pounds the crap out of Russ, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Don't want to see that.
We do have one more email, though.
Do we? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay. And this is from Jimmy Holman. And he says, hi, Adam and Brandon. It was the beginning of March, and I was still experiencing PTSD from the play that shall not be named during Super Bowl 49. And I was mulling over how I was going to get through the drought that would be the offseason. I live in Utah, which is oddly oversaturated with 49ers fans, and dealing with them on top of the pain and anguish of the Super Bowl repeat that would never be meant that I needed to find a way to connect with other Seahawks who are experiencing the same pain. Thus, I began my journey to self-healing by looking for a podcast to listen to on my commute to and from work on all things Seahawks, and I came across your delightful pod and have been hooked ever since. Sorry about that. It's like heroin. The balance blend.
Not good for you, but you can't stop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The balance blend of self-deprecating humor, witty banter, and informative discussions on my beloved Seahawks is a formula that is often imitated, but never duplicated. From the lightheartedness of being better at life than Skip Bayless to the real issues like domestic violence and child abuse in the league, your pod tackles these topics like Cam Chancellor and the Legion of Bloom laying the waste to mighty offense all over the land.
High praise.
Exactly. I can speak for everyone that when I say there is a real sense of genuine love for Seahawks football that two chaps from Montana convey in each and every podcast, which really makes our week as fans.
Nice.
I find myself often using little catchphrases like, do better, and keep getting them checks, which I do have to. Every time I say keep getting them checks, that's an homage to Jalen Rose. That is his phrase.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Rose in the Jalen and Jacoby podcast. Like, definitely check them out. Like,
they won a Stitcher Award, I think, here recently.
Oh, did
they? They won this award for best sports podcast.
They're if you like NBA, then they do some social like or pop stuff too.
Sure.
Especially the hip hop scene and things like that. But I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. So he uses those in everyday soliloquy. Thank you so much for the time and effort you put into a wonderful show. Thank you so much for the letter and the stickers, mates. It was definitely the highlight of the week. I'm so glad I found your podcast. Go Hawks!
Nice.
Cheers, Jameson Holman in Murray, Utah. P.S., I should call my fantasy team this year the Dirty Window Wasters in honor of curmudgeons like Adam everywhere.
Dirty Window Wasters. That's a great fantasy football team name.
That's the first thing fantasy football-wise I can get behind. That's a great email, man. We appreciate it. And you know, one thing I appreciate about the state of Utah? That's Jared's black hole.
Oh?
Every time I go to Utah, like, something bad happens to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's his whole family. Like, they have bad juju in Utah. It's great. Oh. It's fun to watch him just struggle for the entire state.
Well, there you go.
Coffee cups leak on him, you know, cars break down, just everything.
All bad things.
Interesting.
I have not yet encountered a black hole state like that.
Oh, yeah, no, especially Salt Lake. Like, it's his kryptonite. It's fantastic.
If I ever get in a fight with Jared, it will be in Utah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Make sure
you beat him down, man. Yeah.
Right by that Salt Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing he can do.
All right. Well, let's do some do better and better at life, Adam.
All right.
I know you have a do better this week.
I do have a do better this week. My do better is for ESPN for running this article. And I just saw this the other day on Arian Foster. And for those of you who don't know who Arian Foster is, running back for the Houston Texans, won't be playing for about half the season this year, it sounds like, with the pull groin. But this was before that, even.
Doesn't eat meat. Arian Foster.
Well, he's a different kind of cat in a lot of ways. Yeah, he doesn't eat meat and, you know, a few other things, but the headline.
And now he's injured.
And headline, the confession of Arian Foster. I do not believe in God.
Okay.
How is that a confession? Like, is it somehow wrong to not believe in God? Like, are you a bad person? Like, I mean, aren't you allowed to believe in God or not to believe in God or do whatever the hell you want in the United States of America last time I checked? Like, somehow they make it sound like he's some sort of pariah, like, number one, in, like, I know plenty. Look, I...
Hey, somebody ran the news story that said he doesn't eat meat either. That could have been the headline.
Well, that's just it. It's equally
as ridiculous.
I have the same level and interest in what your relationship is with a deity as I do whether or not you're gay or not. I just don't care. Like, I mean, that's... It just doesn't even...
Whether or not you eat meat.
Or whether or not... It is. It's all on the same level of interest to me. Like, I just think it's ridiculous. And they make it into this big deal, like, throughout this entire article, you know, how this big thing between science and faith, and like, no. Just believe what you want to believe.
Yeah.
And who gives a crap? Like, I'm jealous of people that have strong faith. Like, I know you do the church thing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I could find that kind of solace there. Like, kudos to you. Like, I just don't. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, I don't think that's a story.
You're still my friend.
Exactly. we can all get along still. Like, it's not a big deal. So to ESPN for trying to get the God's gays and guns debate into sports once again, do better.
There you go.
Leave it out. I'm over it. It's stupid.
Well, my do better this week is for Michael Robinson, former fullback of the Seattle Seahawks. I mentioned before, giving up some of our secrets. I was listening to Dave Damashek last week, football podcast. And on Damashek, Michael Robinson was a guest. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the most irreplaceable people and players within the Seahawks organization.
Now, okay.
Number one, not shocking, Marshawn Lynch.
That's his boy. Yeah.
And a very integral part of this team.
And his babysitter. Beast mode the babysitter.
Yeah. Is he his babysitter too?
Yeah, he babysits Mike Rob's kids.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That's just another thing to love Marshawn about.
So number two on this list, though, Tom Cable, your assistant head coach. And
shh.
I know.
Shut up, dude.
That's what I said to myself as soon as I heard that. Mike Rob, man.
Come on, you can't be
telling everybody about Tom Cable.
About who?
Yes. He doesn't even exist on this team.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't believe he is a paid employee of the Seahawks.
So you were like, he's giving up secrets. I'm like, dude, how those secrets are years old. Like, how bad can it be?
You can't be telling people who are, you know,
the potential next head coach of the Seattle Seahawks is.
Yeah, take our defensive coordinators. Yeah, keep those guys. That's a rotating door. You know, Carroll can coach up the next guy. They can be the next defensive coordinator, and we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
Take Tom Cable away, though.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Okay. I'm with
you. So Michael Robinson, for going on a national podcast, a very important one, mm-hmm. and spewing this garbage about Tom Cable being a second most irreplaceable person on the team. No. He's way down there. He's way down. It's kind of like how we
look. He couldn't coach his way out of a paper
bag. It's like how we tell people about Montana. There's no running water. There's very
well. It's not like that at all because it actually sucks here.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
You don't want to. It's probably if you're gonna vacation somewhere, don't come here.
No.
Go to California. Look, temperature in California.
Everybody's
always great.
Everybody's a redneck. Like you can't.
Here in Montana. Yeah.
I mean, you got to send. There's no email for Christ's sake.
No.
You're sending stuff
out
Pony
Express.
Forget
about Wi-Fi.
All the roads are dirt.
Park your car at the border. You have to get on a horse. Mm-hmm. It's very tedious.
Mm-hmm. We don't have girlfriends, just goats.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And sheep.
Yeah.
But yes, yep. it's not,
it's awful. It's awful.
Exactly.
Tom Cable's a terrible coach.
Same way. Terrible coach.
Yeah. I'm surprised they keep him on the staff, to be honest.
I know. I think it's some kind of
tax break.
There you go.
Get a tax break. I'm glad we set the record straight.
Tom Cable tax break.
I'm glad we set the record straight.
Look, Paul Allen, he's a pretty rich owner. He can slip things through Congress that other people can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he must have had him vote on the Tom Cable as Seahawks assistant coach act.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows a huge tax break just in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why Tom Cable.
I think you're right. Paul Allen is clearly rich enough to get legislation passed. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Corporatocracy. So Michael Robinson, for spewing this nonsense, do better.
Do better, buddy. Yeah, man.
All right.
Way to set him straight.
Eh, somebody's got to.
All right, on to Better at Life.
He's
better at life,
than
Mr. Skip Bayless. Since this is pretty much the first show of the regular season and we've seen people are starting to tune back in.
Yeah.
For those of you who are relatively new to the show.
2 years ago, we started the show.
Right.
And we figured we needed something consistent week to week.
Yeah, this is Brandon's brainchild, and it's been brilliant. Well, it's been well-received.
It's tough to say that it's my brainchild. I mean, it was Richard Sherman that went on take.
Making it a segment was your brainchild.
I suppose so.
It was. Yeah, credit, dude. Take the credit.
It was Richard Sherman going on Skip Bayless, or talking to Skip Bayless on First Take, and just going there with the purpose of...
This was back when Richard was a little angrier.
Yeah.
And things where he was having a hard time getting recognized.
Yeah.
But he did take Skip Bayless to task. And if you haven't seen the clip, just type in,
Richard Sherman,
I'm better at life
Skip
than you.
Skip Bayless. Yeah.
Just type in, I'm better at life than you.
Yes.
Like, you'll be fine. Okay. So anyways, every week we nominate somebody who's better at life than Skip Bayless. And he's obviously a blowhard and sucks. So like Brandon said, it's a low bar, but this is what we do every week. And so welcome to the show. And this is what we're doing. So better at life than Skip Bayless.
Who do you got this week, Adam?
You know what? I'm giving him a little Mariners love.
Yeah?
Little Mariners love.
They need some love, Adam.
Man, they need something.
Mariners fans, they need a little love right now.
They need beer. That's what they need. They need lots of beer.
They need Seahawks football to start.
Yes, they do. Yeah, the city of Seattle does need that. Mariners having a disappointing season.
This was supposed to be the year, Adam.
7 games under .500 after finishing one game out of the playoffs last year and bringing in Nelson Cruz, a big bopper. Who's having a great year, too.
A crazy year.
Bullpen that was the best in the league last year.
What happened to the bullpen?
Apparently that deal with the devil was only for a year.
Gosh.
Yeah, because it sucks now. But one guy decided to just take it out of the bullpen's hands today.
Yeah?
And that, you know, and he's been injured for a lot of the year, but Hisashi Iwakuma.
Mariners bullpen. Pants.
Pants. Yeah, exactly. But so today, Hisashi Iwakuma comes out, and he no-hits the Orioles in Safeco. And we've all needed that. We've needed something to root for when it comes to the Mariners. Something pitching-wise, outside
Adam
of King
Jones
Fingles.
On the bench and off the base path.
Exactly. Sit down, son, because Iwakuma, the Kuma's here. No-hitting the Orioles today. I'm very impressed. Better at life than Skip Bayless.
There you go. Iwakuma, getting it done.
Yeah.
Good job.
Exactly.
That Adam Jones trade, man. The Eric.
I don't know. No, don't.
You don't want to bring that up?
No, man.
I know.
Got so many bad trades. And if you want, and one of the reasons.
Worst of all, trading for Heathcliff Slocum. That was.
Although that's a great name, though.
If you were trading on strength of name.
Yeah, name strength.
Solid trade.
That's a solid trade. Yeah.
As
that's almost as good as Bear Pasco. Like, who played for the Giants there for a while. But, look, for those of you who aren't big Mariners fans, whatever, if you want to understand the state and like some of these trades that Brandon's bringing up here, there's a great article on Grantland.com today going through just the trials and tribulations of the last, 14 years since they've been to the playoffs. So,
was it the last good trade for the Mariners when they traded Ken Phelps for Jay Buhner? Was that the last good trade?
I guess they traded
for Randy Johnson, right? That was a good trade. He was an Expo.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that team?
That's how long it's been. The team doesn't even exist anymore. Wow.
All right.
Who you got?
This week, for me, better at life, Jackie and Jeff Schaefer, creators of the television show The League.
Oh, okay. I think if I were into fantasy football, I would like this show because the humor seems to be good. I just don't understand a lot of jokes because I'm not into fantasy.
You don't need to be a fan of fantasy to watch the show, Adam.
Okay.
I think if you give yourself a little bit of time, you would like this show.
Okay.
And the other thing.
Is it on Netflix? I just bought Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
I just
got the Netflix yesterday.
And Jackie and Jeff Schaefer, like I said, the co-creators, they also happen to be season ticket holders and Seahawks fans.
Oh, okay.
According to this Rolling Stone article where I saw this clip that I'm about to play.
Who wrote the article?
Who wrote the article?
Was it the dude from Field Goals, Kenneth Arthur?
No, and it wasn't. And I was surprised about
that. Somebody screwed that up.
I know.
Okay.
I know. Scott Rafferty of Rolling Stone wrote this article.
Yeah, Arthur got scooped.
Right?
Yeah, that's in his backyard.
I know, I know.
What are you doing, bro?
Do better, Kenneth.
Yeah. Mini do better.
Mini one, yeah.
I mean, you're right for Rolling Stone, so I can't...
You can't criticize that much. If you haven't seen The League, it's a show, like Adam said, about a bunch of guys who play in a fantasy football league together. Mm-hmm. One of the guys, Taco, is friends with Marshawn Lynch, and Marshawn had made a previous appearance on the show.
Oh, really?
But I and you haven't seen this clip yet, have you?
No.
Okay. Well, the first time then. Check out this clip. This is a tease for the upcoming season of The League.
All that about wraps up Taco Corp's annual board meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Yes, Lord.
All right, Marshawn. I'd like to thank the board.
Cheers to Taco Corp.
Cheers. Well, as you know, Taco Corp had a record year. I'm going to be paying you your dividend in Skittles.
Come on, man. You know that's my thing, right, Brett?
No, I had no idea. That's how I pay everyone. What? Taco, if you're done with your meeting, can I have a beer, please?
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, last one.
Just hand it to me, and I'll run it over to him.
Nah, I'll toss it to him.
Just hand it to me. No need to throw it, man. Come on.
Nah, it's really easy. I'll just throw it to him. He'll catch it.
Come on, man. We're so close. I could run it over. It's just right here.
I just want a beer.
Come on, man. I can sleepwalk that thing to him, but come on, man.
All right. Nah. I think I'm going to throw it. What's the worst that could happen?
What?
Catch!
No, no. What? No, no, no. No, 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 no. Time's up. Oh! Whoa. Whoa. Ah! 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 Fire! A bee! Help!
Ah! That's why you run.
A bee! Oh! Oh! Fire! Fire! Fire!
Still think it was the right call.
You know... There's certain ways that I can get over things. Like, I often say I joke about everything, the good and the bad in life. You know, like, kid pops out with a birth defect, I'm cracking jokes. Like, look at your tap hotel, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I get through it. Thank God for that clip.
Right?
That is hilarious.
Doesn't that... I feel like if you could...
I felt like I was on fire when we threw that pass at the end of the Super Bowl. Like, that just... It sums up the whole way that I felt about the whole thing. Like, well played. Well played.
I know. And I feel like if you can laugh at that, going into the season, you're on the road to recovery. I won't say you're cured because it's going to stick with you for a while, but no, you are well on the road.
You'll
to recovery.
Always have the scar.
Yeah.
Like, you'll always have the scar, but
you can laugh at it.
Yeah. There'll be a point where you can point out and be like, dude, check out my scar.
Right.
Yeah. It goes from being something that hurts you to something that you're like proud of. You're like, I'm tough. I made it through that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good point.
Looks a lot like my heart, like the whole thing.
Good way to look at it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jackie and Jeff Schaefer of The League. Better at life than Skip Bayless.
I like your nomination this week. That was fun. And hey, honorary to Beast Mode there too.
Yeah.
Like being able to make light of it too. You know, that's one thing that I don't know that Marshawn gets enough credit for.
Oh, yeah.
Is the way that he's handled it.
Oh, whether it was on Conan.
Whether it was on Conan. Whether it was right after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, in the locker room and he's like, hey, we win as a team. We lose as a team.
Uh-huh.
You can say what you want about Marshawn Lynch and a lot. He has been nothing but classy and funny and dealt with it in a positive manner the whole way through. When somebody could have been very, very bitter and had really thrown people under the bus.
Because he could have gone on the show and said, oh, yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that.
He could have said a whole lot of things this offseason about Russell Wilson being a pretty boy and like, you know.
And plenty of chances to throw the team under the bus and say, hey. It could have been me. Could have been me winning the game.
Yep. And not once.
No.
And not once. And you know what? Good for him and good for the Schaefers for being able to showcase that in a funny way.
That was good.
I appreciate it.
That was good.
I appreciate it. Well, cool, man. Last off-season show.
Yeah.
Next time we come at you, we're going to have game observations.
Right?
We're all going to, me and Brandon are going to watch a game with Jared.
Yeah.
Be fun.
It will be.
I'll probably take some notes.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. Are we going to buy the NFL? Are we going to buy the NFL ticket package thingy so that we can rewatch?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. You'll have to let me know what I'll throw down this.
Well, usually it comes with my season ticket package.
Oh, like the NFL package thing?
No. Like all the season ticket holders get a code to be able to
NFL rewind.
Yeah.
For the whole season?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a perk.
I know.
Wow.
And you get to go to the football games.
Man.
It's a pretty good deal.
That is a pretty good deal. Hopefully you get a free back rub too somewhere in there? Like, they kind of spoil you.
I haven't seen it come through yet, but last two seasons they've pulled through. So
very cool.
We will see.
Very cool. So enjoy it, folks. game day coming up here on Friday. Be sure to get your 12th man flag out there on Friday. It'll be Blue Friday, the first Blue Friday of the year.
Heck yes.
Get it done, folks.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks!